السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، my brothers, Barakallahu feekum. I am honored to be here with you at this masjid here in Trinidad today, which coincides with the 5th of February in the common era or the Christian era, which is equivalent to the 26th of Rabiul Thani in the year 1437. After the hijrah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The topic that I've been asked to deliver this short reminder upon for the next half an hour or so is the topic about which every Muslim is obligated to know, because it's a topic that concerns your salvation. It concerns your safety and your protection from the hellfire and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge that I am going to impart today, inshallah, is a knowledge that we cannot do without. Those of you who know, then it will be a reminder for you, my brothers and sisters. And that is that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in a hadith that is authentic upon him, alayhi salatu was salam, in which the narration of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, that he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تفترق هذه الأمة على 73 فرقة كلها في النار إلا واحدة قالوا. So they said, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed them, قالوا وما هي تلك الفرقة قال ما أنا عليه اليوم وأصحابي. This hadith that has been reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi amongst others from the ulama, al-Hakim in his Mustadrak, and the hadith, walillahi alhamd, is at least at the level of Hassan, meaning that it is authentic upon Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Allah's Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam, he said that this ummah will divide, meaning the ummah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will divide into 73 sects, all of them into the hellfire, except for one. So the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya Rasulullah, which is that one firqa? Which is that one sect that is saved? So he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that which I and my companions are upon today. The hadith is sahih. It is authentic upon Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this hadith is known as the hadith of iftiraq of the ummah. There are various different wordings related to it, and all of them point towards the same direction, that the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after his death will divide into numerous sects. In a narration he said that the Jews, they divided into 71 sects. The Christians, they divided into 72 sects. And my ummah, this ummah of mine, will divide into 73 sects. All of them into the hellfire except for one. إِلَّا وَاحِدَ وَهِيَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. All of them will be burned in the hellfire except for one. And he said, and that is the jama'ah. So now you have two narrations, slightly different wordings, but coming to the same conclusion, that the ummah will divide. The first narration says that all of them into the hellfire except for those who are upon what? That which Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions are upon. The second narration mentions wahi al-jama'ah, and they are the jama'ah. When we gather these two narrations together, then the conclusion that the ulama, they have come to, and the early salaf, meaning the early generations of scholars, they used to say that the jama'ah is that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba were upon. Like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, "Al-jama'a ma wafiq al-haq, walau kunta wahdak." That the jama'a is whatever is in accordance to the truth, even if you are one person. So the term jama'a, which is commonly used today with the various jama'at or the various jama'as that are in the world today, hundreds and thousands of them. All around the world, we have a jama'ah for this, we have a jama'ah for that, we have a jama'ah for this, we have a jama'ah for collecting charity, a jama'ah that travels around for 40 days, knocking on people's doors, we have a jama'ah for who enter into politics, a jama'ah that gathers people to go and fight against the rulers, a jama'ah that claims now that they have established some sort of caliphate. All of them jama'at. In reality, the term jama'ah in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum was only used for one group of people. When the early scholars used to speak about the term jama'a, they used to only refer it to one group of people, and they were the people who followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. Everyone that opposed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions, they were referred to as the firq, as the sects, or the ahzab, or the parties. They were not referred to as jama'at. And this is why the famous scholar of our era, the well-known alim, Sheikh Rabi' bin Hadi al-Madkhali, he has a book. The title itself should inform you about the greatness of this affair. He called it Jama'a Wahida. There's only one Jama'a. La Jama'at. There's only one Jama'a, not numerous Jama'at. What's the intent behind this title? Likewise, he said, Sirat Wahid, La Asharat. There's only one path and not tens of paths. Meaning that the Jama'ah, the people of truth, is one Jama'ah and not tens of Jama'at, not tens of Jama'as that all claim to be the truth. Only one can be the truth. How do we know this? From the hadith of the Prophet. It's not something that he's invented from his head. The message he's trying to get across is that, look, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke, he spoke about a group of people who would follow him, and they would follow him correctly. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, this group of people will enter into paradise, as opposed to 72 other groups of individuals that will come, and all of them will be cast into the hellfire for a period of time. Not all of them eternally, even though some of the groups that ascribe themselves to Islam will enter into the hellfire for eternity. Those who commit major shirk, for example, who commit idolatry in the name of Islam. Like those who worship the dead, or those who worship angels, or those who worship jinn, alongside Allah. So those types of groups, or those who worship men, and regard Ali radiallahu anhu to be divine, for example, and they worship the companions. Those kinds of individuals who actually hold the beliefs of major shirk, then those people, when they are cast into the hellfire, they'll be cast into the hellfire for eternity, never to come out. On what basis? On the basis that they have not worshipped Allah, they have associated partners with Allah, for which Allah does not forgive. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. That Allah does not forgive that partners be associated with Him in worship, but He will forgive lesser than that to whomsoever He pleases. So there is a crime that human beings may commit, for which Allah will never forgive them, and that crime is shirk, major shirk, a person who associates partners in worship with Allah. But however, the generality of the 72 sects, they are Muslims, because the Prophet ﷺ, what did he say? سَتَفْتَرِقُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ. That this ummah, meaning the ummah, the Muslims, this ummah of mine, will divide into 72 sects. How do we know that he's referring to the Muslims and he's not referring to the Jews and the Christians? Because he separated the Jews and Christians out. Did he not? When he said, indeed, the Jews, they divided into 71. So khalas, he's dealt with the Jews. And the Christians, they will divide into 72. Khalas, he's dealt with the Christians. And my ummah will divide into 73. So now he's not talking about the whole of mankind. He's talking about my ummah will divide into 73. And why? Because the ummah that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the term ummah in general has two connotations. There's the ummah to da'wah, and that is the whole of creation to whom the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to invite them to Islam. And that is the whole of man, all of mankind, and the world of the jinn. All of them, the Prophet ﷺ was sent to all of them to invite them to Islam. One body of them accepted the da'wah. and they entered into Islam. Who were they? That is called the Ummatul Ijaba, or the Ummah that responded to the call of Allah's Messenger. So they became Muslim, entered into the fold of Islam. So in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many jama'ahs were there? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive, how many jama'ahs who accepted his call and remained with him? How many sects were there in reality? Is the question that I'm asking you. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how many sects were there in Islam?
One.
Sahaba. There was only one sect, Firqatun Najiya. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, they asked him, وَمَا هِيَ تِلْكَ الْفِرْقَةِ, which is this one sect, O Messenger of Allah, that is saved? So they have already asked him, which is the one? He said, مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمْ وَأَصْحَابِي, that which I and my companions are upon. So now we know that the jama'ah that was around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was one jama'ah. Under the leadership of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, following his example, because he is the Uswatun Hasana, he is the most excellent and the finest of examples to be followed, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described him in the Quran as the Uswatun Hasana. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum followed him. So every other sect that opposes, or any other group that comes now that opposes the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then they are the firaq ad-dala. They are the misguided sects and groups. So when Shaykh Rabi', as I mentioned, this scholar, when he wrote the title of his book, and he wrote it about 15 or close to 15, between 15 and 20 years ago, he wrote this title, he wrote the book, and he said, reminding the Muslims that there is only one jama'ah, la jama'at. There is only one jama'ah and not numerous jama'at. There is only one path and not numerous paths. Referring to the fact that the people of truth are one group of individuals. And the path that takes you to Jannah, the sirat, is sirat wahid. La asharat. Not tens of paths. All the rivers do not lead to the same sea. You heard, probably heard the statement that is common amongst the people, and they say, ya akhi, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you reach Allah, you just reach Allah. You follow that path, this one follows this path, this one follows the path of Sufism, that one follows the path of the Shia, this one follows the path of ISIS, that one follows the path of Tabligh, this one follows the path of Ikhwan, and all of these paths lead to the same way. This one follows the path of the Ash'a'ira, the Ash'aris, this one follows the path of them. All these are various sects, right? So everyone follows their own path, but it doesn't matter, ya akhi. This is the argument of the unifiers, right? Because we have a group of Muslims out there who say, forget about the differences, let's just come together and unite. And then you say to them, but we can only unite upon the truth. They say, ya akhi, the truth is something that is vague. It's not something tangible. Everyone has their own version of the truth. There is no absolute haqq. There is no absolute truth. So don't worry about the differences of this. Let's just get together. Then we say to them, get together on what basis? They say, get together on the basis that the Muslims must be united to fight the common enemy. We say to them, fine. But surely there must be a basis of unity. Because the Messenger of Allah said that this ummah will divide into 73. And they say, ya akhi, quiet. I'm fed up of hearing that hadith. You hear Muslims saying things like that. I'm fed up of hearing this hadith. As if they're saying that they're fed up of the words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're not my words. The hadith is authentic. And there are other hadith with the same meaning. We mentioned that the sirat is wahid, the path to Allah is one path. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, in a hadith which is authentic, he said that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam khatta lana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam khatta. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew for us a line in the sand. One line. One straight line. In the sand. ثُمَّ قَالَ هَذَا سَبِيلُ اللَّهِ. Then he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is the straight path of Allah. How many lines did he draw?
One.
Immediately after drawing that one line, he said, هَذَا سَبِيلُ اللَّهِ. ثُمَّ خَطَّى خَطُوطًا عَنْ يَمِينِهِ وَعَنْ شِمَالِهِ. The seela. Seals the argument. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drew numerous lines, shorter lines to the right of that one line, and more lines to the left of that one line. So now you can imagine, and this is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best of teachers. The one who guided his ummah upon clarity. قَدْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْبَيْضَاءِ I have left you upon clear guidance. Why? Because this is how the Prophet ﷺ explained the difference between the truth and falsehood. After drawing that one line in the sand, then he drew lines to the right of it, then he drew lines to the left of it, and then he said, هَذِهِ سُبُلٌ مُتَفَرِّقًا These are paths that diverge you. Divergent paths. عَلَى كُلِّ سَبِيلٍ الشَّيْطَانِ يَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِ Upon the head of each one of these paths is a devil calling you to it. خَلَاص So do all the rivers lead to the same ocean? Do all the rivers lead to the same sea? When you have the straight path of Allah that the Prophet ﷺ drew for you, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, then he drew lines to the right and left. Actually, those paths are not paths to Allah, because at the head of each one of these paths is who? A shaytan, a devil, yad'u ilayk, calling you to his path. Now, imagine this picture in your mind. Imagine the line, and imagine the lines to the right and lines to the left. When the messenger said, عَلَى كُلِّ سَبِيلٍ شَيْطَانٍ Upon every path, there is a devil calling to it. Is the devil calling to you while standing at the end of the path or at the beginning of the path that is close to the straight line? You understand the question? So here's your line, right? Imagine the line in the sand. Then lines that are close to this one line and they're just going to one side, to the right. And then lines going to the left on the other side. If there is a devil standing upon each one of those lines, where is he standing? When the messenger said, عَلَى كُلِّ سَبِيلٍ شَيْطَانٍ Upon every path there is a devil, is he standing at the beginning of those lines that is close to the straight line, or at the end of those lines and calling you to the line to follow it? What do you think? Anyone? Beginning or the end of the line? Beginning of the line. Because anyone who calls to something, he's hiding what is behind it. Right? So he wants to call you to from where you are now upon the straight path. Because you want the path to Allah. You want Quran. You want Sunnah. You want the words of Allah's Messenger. As you are following that path, there is someone close to that path, those devils, as the Prophet ﷺ said, not my words, right? Prophet ﷺ said, upon every path, at the head of every path, there is a devil calling to it. So as you're proceeding upon the path of Allah, there is a devil that tells you, come this way. Come which way? He says, come this way, the path to paradise. You say, but I thought I was already... No, this is the path to paradise, follow me. So then, as they say, he throws you, you know, he'll throw you a hook to pull you in, like just like you pull in the fish upon the rod. So he pulls you in, and then you start upon a path that is very resemblant to the truth. Any deviation from the straight path always resembles the truth. It is not far away from the truth. It is always resemblant, because the shaytan will always call to that which is easier for you to accept than that which is difficult for you to swallow. Always. He's not going to come to you and say to you, follow me, I'll take you to the hellfire. Which Muslim is going to follow him in that? Shaytan will come to you and say to you, come with me, let's make more dhikr of Allah. Say, more dhikr of Allah can't be wrong. Right? How can dhikr of Allah, saying subhanallah, walhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, be wrong? So when he comes to you, he'll come to you with the dhikr of Allah. You know, the first sect that divided in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a sect known as the Khawarij. When they first appeared in their simplest forms in Iraq, in the time of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, even though actually their infiltration began earlier than that. The infiltration of the Khawarij into the ranks of the Muslims came earlier than Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. But in the time of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, this is after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is after the death of Umar. After the death of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And it is in that era when he appeared. When the Khawarij, they began to get strong. So a group of people were sitting in the masjid in Iraq. And they were simply making dhikr. They were sitting in a circle, in various circles. So you can imagine, in a masjid like this. So there's a circle in that corner. There's a circle over there. There's a circle in the corner over there. There's a circle on my left. There's a circle at the back of the masjid. Just groups of brothers. And in the middle of the circle, there's a pile of 100 pebbles. The narration is authentic. Sunan al-Darimi, and it is authentic to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. So they're sitting, these groups of people, with 100 pebbles. One of them, he picks up a pebble and he says, Subhanallah. All of the people sitting around him repeat after him, Subhanallah. Then he picks up the next one, Subhanallah. And they repeat after him, Subhanallah, up until they use up all of the 100 pebbles. Then they begin again, Alhamdulillah. They repeat after him, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. He's the one counting the stones, pebbles, and they're repeating after him. Then they do Allahu Akbar. Then they do La ilaha illallah. So Abu Musa al-Ash'ari walked into the masjid. He saw them doing it. And he walked out. Then he went to the house of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, the companion. And he waited for him to come out. After he came out, and he said, Ya Abu Abdurrahman. He said, O father of Abdurrahman, referring to the companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He said that I saw the people doing something in the masjid that I have not seen before. And by Allah, it is something that looked good, meaning outwardly, it seemed good. He said, what did you say to them? So he told him what he saw about the kind. He said, what did you say to them? He said, I didn't say anything. I wanted to tell you first. So he said, rather you should have told them to count their evil deeds, for Allah will not allow the good deeds to go to waste. Let's go. So they went. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he came to one of these circles. He said, what is this that you are doing, O Ummah of Muhammad? I am Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the companion of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are widespread. And the crockery of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has still not broken. And the clothing of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has still not worn out. How quickly, O Ummah of Muhammad, you have run to your destruction. What are they doing? Tell me what they're doing. What they're doing, Ya Ikhwan? Making dhikr. So all they're doing is making dhikr. Pebbles, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Prophet ﷺ said Subhanallah, right? Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah. Prophet ﷺ didn't say Allahu Akbar constantly. La ilaha illallah. It is the weightiest thing yawm al-qiyamah. That's all they say. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Weightiest thing yawm al-qiyamah is la ilaha illallah, the kalima la ilaha illallah. Yet, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is saying to them, how quickly you have run to your destruction, O Ummah of Muhammad. Either you are upon a religion better than the religion of Muhammad, or you're upon a path of destruction and misguidance. What were they doing that was wrong? The dhikr is not wrong, right? So what was wrong? The what? Sorry, the pebbles. The manner in which they were making the dhikr was not done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they said, Ya Abdullah, when they spoke to him and they responded to him, they said, but we only intended good. We did not intend. So what are they referring back to now? What is in the hearts. Right? So now their defense is not Quran. Their defense is not Sunnah. Their defense is not the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Their defense is not, well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his time did such. No, that's not their defense. What's their defense? Our hearts. Look, our hearts are clean. We only want good. We only want khair. What did Abdullah ibn Mas'ud say? Well, that's alright then, khalas, let's go. Left them. Is your heart good? Yeah, our hearts are good. We only intend good. That's okay then. As long as your heart's good and you intended good, do as you please. Is that what he said? He said to them, how many people intend good, but they never reach it? He didn't let them go. How many people intend good, but they never reach it? So then he said, by Allah, I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that they will appear in my ummah a group of people. They will recite the Quran. So now they're reciting the Quran. They will recite it and it will not go beyond their throats. So they will recite it, it will stay in their mouths and it will not sink. It won't go beyond their throats, it won't sink into their hearts. He said, and I, and perhaps you are from them. And then he left them. He said, perhaps you are from them. Come salatullah. Sorry? Anyway, later. So now, when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said what he said to them, he said, perhaps you are from them. The narrator of that narration from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, by Allah, when the Khawarij gathered, I saw these very same people fighting against the companions with their swords on the day of Nahrawan. Where did they begin? Making dhikr. Did they take the advice of the companion Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? No. Because they said it's no big deal. What's the problem in making dhikr with stones? What's the problem in making dhikr in unison? That was their argument. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's. Wallo. Who is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? We're making dhikr and he's stopping us from making dhikr. This is from the greatest of weapons. This narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari is from the greatest of the weapons of those individuals who say, it doesn't matter, ya akhi. It doesn't matter, my brother. Let's unite. Let's not worry about these minor things. Would they say the same thing to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? If that great companion, noble companion of Allah's Messenger and the other one was standing with him, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, in the time of the Sahaba, look at the words that he used. The crockery of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not yet broken. His garments have not worn out. His companions are widespread. And you have already run to your destruction. That's what he said to them. Would these people today, and look at that deviation. What's the deviation? Making dhikr with pebbles. Look at the deviations that we find today. What would Ibn Mas'ud say about them? And who would have the audacity to stand in front of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud? And look at the narration itself. That he said the very same people who began with that deviation that resembled the truth. Of course, dhikr is the truth. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. That is the truth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this dhikr, but he didn't make it like that. He did not make it like that. Reminds me of something that the great scholar and the muhaddith, one of the great scholars of the last generation in reality now when you look at the time that has passed since he died. Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah. Shaykh Muhammad Nasiruddin Al-Albani was the great scholar of this era. There's a narration from one of the successors of the companions from the Tabi'een. Sa'id ibn Musayyib. Sa'id ibn Musayyib was from the great Tabi'een. From those who studied at the hands of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Numerous of the Sahaba. Died in the year 94 after the Hijrah. Sa'id ibn Musayyib was sitting in the masjid. And someone walked in after the adhan for Fajr. The man walked in and prayed 2 rak'ahs. Finished the 2 rak'ahs, stood up and started praying again. And he would make constant ruku over and over again. Constant sujood over and over again. Bowing and prostrating and bowing and prostrating repeatedly in the prayer. So Sa'id ibn Musayyib sat for a while watching him. And then when he saw what he was doing, he said, stop that. He said, stop it. He said, are you telling me that Allah will punish me for praying? He said, Allah will not punish you for praying. Rather, Allah will punish you for opposing the sunnah. Allah will punish you for opposing the sunnah. Why? Because the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is there to be followed. Any sect or any group of people that come and violate what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, the Sahaba would not tolerate even the minutest of deviations from it. That's why when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said that the Prophet ﷺ drew for us a line in the sand, and he said, "Hada sabilullah," this is the path of Allah. Then he drew lines to the right and left. And then he said, "Hadhihi subulun mutafarriqa," these are divergent paths. At the head of each one of these paths is the devil calling to it. Thumma qara'a. Then Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, same hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, the same Ibn Mas'ud who saw those people years later, rather decades later he saw them counting this. This is the same Ibn Mas'ud who saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam draw the line. Now you understand why it is so important when we look at the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we look at the affair of unity, when we look at the affair of splitting of the ummah, when we look at the affair of division, why the companions are so important to us. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, you've heard him three times tonight. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is the same companion who said that the jama'ah is whatever is in accordance to the truth, even if it be one person. That's the jama'ah. Why? Because the jama'ah is what the Prophet was upon, and what the Prophet was upon was the haqq. What he was upon was the truth, and what the Sahaba were upon in the time of the Prophet ﷺ was the truth. And even after the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they were upon the truth. Abdullah Mas'ud said, they are the jama'ah. And the jama'ah is whatever is in accordance. The Prophet ﷺ said, they are the jama'ah. And Ibn Mas'ud said, and the jama'ah, after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, he said that the jama'ah is not the majority of the people, rather the jama'ah is whatever is in accordance to, is, rather he said, the jama'ah is not what the people think it is, rather the jama'ah is in every, is whatever is in accordance to the truth, and accords with the truth, and agrees with the truth, even if you be one person. That's Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Then this is the same Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who said that the Prophet ﷺ drew for us a line in the sand. And then he drew lines to the right, and he drew lines to the left. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the ayah in the Quran, wa anna hadha sirati mustaqiman fattabi'uhu wa la tattabi'u subul fattafarraqa bikum an sabilihi. He recited, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after drawing those lines to the right, to the left, when he mentioned that they are lines where there's a devil standing at the head of them, he said, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the words of Allah, "This is my straight path, so follow it. And do not follow the other paths, for they will divide you away from his path." Who said it? Allah said it. Who recited it? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the words of Allah, the speech of Allah. So what did he say? What did Allah say? Wa anna hadha sirati mustaqiman. He said, this is my straight path. Who said it? Allah said it in the Quran. How many paths did he say? Sirat is singular. Then he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبَلْ. Do not follow the other paths. He mentioned it in the plural. He didn't say unite with them. He didn't say bring all the paths together. It doesn't matter. All the rivers lead to the same sea. All the highways lead to the capital. Never did he say this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Never did he say unite with the other paths. He did not declare them to be unbelievers. Rather, he said that these are paths of divergence, so don't follow them, for they will divert you away from Allah's straight path. So those paths that people want us to unite with, Allah said they will divert you away from His straight path. How can you unite with a path that there is a devil that calls you to it? Even though the people, when they follow that path, they don't know there's a devil there, because the devil doesn't come to you and say to you, "I'm the shaitan, follow me." He won't come to you like that. He didn't even come to Adam alayhi salam in the garden like that. When Iblis came to Adam in the garden in Jannah, after Allah placed Adam and his wife in Jannah, and he said to them, "Eat as you please from the gardens, but don't go near that shajara, don't go near that shajara, don't go near that path to that tree. And if you do, you'll be from the wrongdoers." So then what did shaytan do? فَأَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ That shaytan, فَأَزَلَّهُمَ الشَّيْطَانِ That shaytan, he caused them to slip. Right? To err. So what did they do? They took from that which was forbidden for them. How did he err? How did he cause them to err? By deceiving them, by tricking them, by lying to them. He didn't say to them, "I'm the shaytan, if you eat from that tree, you're going to go to the hellfire, but eat from it anyway." He didn't. He said, if you eat from it, do you know why you can't eat from it? Because if you eat from it, you will gain immortality. You will live forever. Or you'll become an angel. So he tricked them. Shaitan doesn't come except in the garbs of deception and trickery to deceive. That's how shaitan comes. So when the shaitan stands at the head of those paths, people may go onto the path, just like those people who were sitting in the masjid counting the stones. What did they say? We do not intend except that which is good. That which is good, that's all that we intend. So that's what they did. They counted the stones thinking that they were doing good. But the reference point for truth and falsehood is not the heart. What's reference point for truth and falsehood? Quran and Sunnah. That's the reference point. Haqq and batil is measured by the closeness of a person to following the truth. If he follows the truth, and the truth is in the Quran and the Sunnah, revelation, wahi or wahiyain, or the two revelations, the revelation of the Quran, the words of Allah, and the revelation of the Sunnah. Because Sunnah is revelation, you know that, right? The Sunnah is revelation. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never spoke from his desires, Allah said. Rather, it was inspiration. It was revelation that he was inspired with. Never spoke from his desires. So when he spoke, it was all revelation. And some of the Salaf, they used to say that Jibreel used to descend upon Muhammad with the Sunnah, just as he used to descend upon Muhammad with the Quran. So the Sunnah is to be followed. فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُصِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُصِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Let those beware, Allah said in the Quran, who disobey the commands of the Messenger. That if they do so, that they will be tried with a tribulation, or a painful torment will be inflicted upon them. وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ رَسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَىٰ وَيَأْتَبِ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُسْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. That whomsoever contends with the Messenger of Allah after the guidance has been conveyed to him. What's the guidance? Quran and Sunnah. Whomsoever contends with the Messenger of Allah, opposes the Messenger of Allah after the guidance of the Quran, of the Sunnah has been conveyed to him. And then he opposes the sabil al-mu'mineen. He opposes the path of the companions of Allah's Messenger. They are the mu'mineen. They are the first of the believers. And whomsoever follows them, then he is the one who is deserving of the title believer. If he does not follow the Sahaba, he cannot be a believer. He's a Muslim, but he has not reached the level of the Sahaba. The mu'mineen, the sabil al-mu'mineen, is the path of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So anyone who opposes that path, either he is a disbeliever, or he is a believer, very weak in Iman, meaning a Muslim, who's weak in Iman, and a person of misguidance. Whomsoever opposes the Messenger of Allah, because the opposers of the Messenger of Allah, and the opposers of the Sabil al-Mu'mineen, the opposers of the path of the believers, are different grades and shades of people. Those who oppose the path of the believers are the Jews and the Christians. Those who oppose the path of the believers are the Shia and the Khawarij, the terrorists and so on. Those who oppose the path of the believers are those who believe that the dead in your graves can help you. So they go to the grave of the dead and they say, oh, so and so in your grave, my mother is sick. Will you not intercede for me with Allah? So they ask directly the person in the grave to intercede between him and Allah. These people are deviated. They oppose the sabil of the believers, the path of the believers. So Allah said, whomsoever contends with the Messenger of Allah, after the guidance has been conveyed to them of the Quran and the Sunnah, that is, and then choose the path other than the path of the believers, the Sahaba, then Allah will leave him in the path that he has chosen and burn him in the hellfire. And what an evil destination. A promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this ayah, Allah did not mention himself. He began with the Messenger of Allah, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ رَسُولِ. Whomsoever opposes or contends with the Messenger of Allah, meaning whomsoever spits from him, contends with him. And then Allah mentions the Sahaba, then Allah mentions the punishment. Prophet, Sahaba, punishment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another ayah in the Quran, shows you what the path of the believers is. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. the first and foremost to embrace Islam. From the two groups of the companions, the Muhajirun and the Ansar. And then those who follow them correctly, precisely. Then Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. And they will be entered into the gardens of paradise under which rivers flow. And they will remain in there for an eternity. And that is the supreme success. For whom? For three groups of people. That success that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this ummah is pleased with only three groups of people. I've just mentioned the ayah. Which three groups of people are they? You've heard the ayah. Who are they? Muhajirun, Ansar, those who follow them. Did Allah mention the fourth group? Bi ihsan. What did I say? Oh, bi ihsan. I was correcting the ayah. Naam. So, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three groups of people. Muhajirun, Ansar, and their Sahaba. Right? No, they're not alive today. They died. They were the best of generations. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ قَرْنِي, the best of you is my generation. In a narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, Ya Rasulullah, who are the best of people? He said, أَنَا, me. وَالَّذِينَ مَعِي, and then those who are with me here, meaning the Sahaba. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ عَلَى الْأَثَرِ, then those who follow that athar, meaning that path, tread that path. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ عَلَى الْأَثَرِ, then those who follow that path. So who is the best of people? The Prophet and his companions. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the ayah that we've just recited, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَمْصَارِ, that the first and foremost to embrace Islam from the muhajirin, from the ansar, and then those who follow them in goodness or in precision, correctly. Right? With ihsan, meaning with it'an, precisely and correctly that you follow them. Only three. Did Allah mention a fourth group? Fifth group, sixth group, 72 groups. He mentioned three groups. Muhajirin, Ansar, and those who follow them. You can't be from the first two. Right? We live in 1437. We can't be from the first two. They've passed away to the pleasure of Allah and they were the jama'ah. That means you can only be from the third. So, but the condition of being from the third is what? What was the condition in that ayah? Follow them precisely. Follow them precisely in what? Their belief, their aqidah, their tawheed, their monotheistic belief in Allah, the way that they worship Allah, the manner in which they worship Allah, the way that they follow their religion and perform the rest of the acts of worship, in the usul of the deen, in the foundations of the religion, and the furu' in the branches of the religion, the way that they dealt with each other, the way that they dealt with the people who deviated, like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, look how he dealt with the people of deviation. And that was something that looked like a minor deviation in the eyes of the people. But look how he dealt with them. He wouldn't accept it from them. Don't tell me that your heart is good. Don't tell me that you intended good. Whilst you know that you oppose the Messenger of Allah, your heart is not the arbiter of truth and falsehood. Truth and falsehood is judged by Allah, by the Quran, by the Sunnah, and what the Sahaba were upon. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said that to them. Because he recognized that they were upon falsehood. So when the Khawarij appeared, from them were these people. And they fought against Ali radiallahu anhu, who was the Jama'ah. When these people arose, and there was an uprising against Ali, and they rebelled against Ali, and Ali, as you know, was the fourth caliph, right? He was the fourth of the Khulafa, al-Rashidin, al-Mahdiin. He was the fourth caliph. So when this group arose and rebelled against him and declared Ali to be a disbeliever, they said to Ali, you are a kafir. Qad kafarta. You have disbelieved. This is what they said to Ali. Why? They said, because you have not judged by what Allah has revealed. What did Allah say in the Quran? First and foremost, to believe the muhajirun and the ansar and those who follow them in goodness, Allah is pleased with them. They said, no, you are a disbeliever. The one who Allah is pleased with, they are the disbelievers in their eyes. Because they said, you, Sahaba, don't judge by the Quran. You don't judge by what Allah has revealed. Same as the Khawarij of today, right? ISIS. Same thing they say today. They say, these rulers of the Muslims and anyone who opposes us is a kafir. Why is he a kafir? Because they don't judge by what Allah has revealed. We are the ones who judge by what Allah has revealed. This is the same thing that the Khawarij said to Ali radiallahu anhu. Same thing that they said to him. So everyone is a disbeliever, everyone is an apostate except for this one small body of insurgents and rebels. Everyone else outside of that, kafir. Everyone outside of that can be killed. So they made halal the blood of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So they arose. So when they arose, my question to you, who was the jama'ah? Who? Sorry? Sahaba. He didn't change. The Sahaba was still the jama'ah. So what was this then? This was one of the 72. Got it? Then came the Shia, and the Qadariya, and the Murji'ah. I'm not going to go into details of all these sects. But these other sects began to appear. The Jahmiya, the Mu'tazila. Then the Turuq al-Sufiya, the Sufis came out of the Shia. Because the Shia, they turned Ali into a godhead, into a demigod. Even till this day, why do the Shia go to Najaf? To worship Ali. It's not something that I've made up. They will tell you, we go to Najaf to revere Ali and ask Ali for help. And Ali will aid us. They say Ali alayhi salam. Right? So they single him out with this alayhi salam. So they single out Ali. They go to his grave. And they will go to Karbala. Why do they go to Karbala? Who's in Karbala? In Iraq. Whose body? Hussein. The son of Ali. The grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because they worship them and they call upon them just like they call upon Allah. The Sufis who came out of this sect, they came out of them and they started worshipping others besides. So they will go to the graves in India, the graves in Pakistan, the graves in Bangladesh, the graves in Iraq, the grave of Abdul Qadir Jilani in Baghdad. They'll go to the grave of Ahmad al-Badawi in Egypt. They'll go to the grave of Tijani. They'll go to the grave of Naqshbandi. And they'll go to all of these graves. Worshipping them, calling upon them. So all of this sectarianism began, but it began with the Khawarij. So now we have the development of those 72 sects. And they're present today. Names may have changed, more may have been added. Out of these four that began, the roots of all of the sects are four. And all of these four arose in the time of the Sahaba. The Khawarij, the Shia, the Qadariya, and the Murji'ah. These four sects arose in the time of the Sahaba. I don't want to go into detail because I've already told you about the Khawarij and the Shia in brief. But when these sects arose, all of the other sects, and they multiplied into 72. Each of those 72 had subsections under their singular group. And then they proliferated into thousands of sects as you see them today. Now you find a group of people, as we go right back to the beginning, what I said, they want to gather these groups together. And they want to say, we want all the Muslims to come under one banner. Is this what you see in the command of the Messenger of Allah from the hadith that we've read? Do you find a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, gather all those sects together under one umbrella and love each other and work with each other and cooperate with each other? Rather, Allah said the opposite in the Quran. Because He singled out the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to be followed. And He told you not to follow the Subulul Mutafarriqa. Did He not? He said, don't follow the other paths. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. Follow, this is my straight path, so follow it. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا سُبَلْ. And do not follow the other paths. So not only did He not command you to unite the groups, rather He commanded you to keep away from them. So why are we opposing Allah and His Messenger for? Under the name of unity? How can unity of the Muslims be achieved by disobeying Allah? Even the ayah that they quote, they say, Ya Akhi, but what about the ayah in the Quran? I say, which ayah in the Quran? They said, Allah said, وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِهَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ عَادَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. The ayah. Say, yes, what's the proof in the ayah for you? They said, look, Allah said, وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِهَبْلِ اللَّهِ, all of you unite, all of you together to the rope of Allah. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and don't be divided. We say, yes, that ayah is not for you. That ayah is against you. They say, how can it be against us? He say, because Allah said, وَاَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ. Hold on to the rope of Allah. What's the rope of Allah? What's the rope of Allah? Quran? Sunnah. Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, the rope of Allah is the book of Allah. Is the sunnah of Allah's messenger. It is the jama'ah and the Sahaba. It is Tawheed and it is Ikhlas. All of this is the rope of Allah. And he said, and all of this has been reported from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And all of these actually, when you look at them individually, they all come to the same thing. And that is that you stick to the revelation. Kitab, Sunnah, Jama'ah, Sahaba, Tawheed, Ikhlas. All of this is the rope of Allah. So we say, okay, so if this is the rope of Allah, how many of these groups are holding on to that rope of Allah? How many of the groups, these groups that you're saying that we should unite with? When Allah said, وَاَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا, Allah began with the command of what? Holding to the rope of Allah. You're beginning with unity, you're not beginning with the rope of Allah. You're even quoting the ayah wrong. وَاَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ, all of you hold on to the rope of Allah. That's how the ayah begins. That's how jami'an. And then Allah said, united all of you, hold on to the rope of Allah. Then Allah said, do not divide and do not split. So the beginning is holding on. So now you hold on to the rope of Allah. You hold on to the rope of Allah. You hold on to the rope of Allah. He holds on to the rope of Allah. The sisters hold on to the rope of Allah. Every Muslim holds on to the rope of Allah. Then we are not allowed to divide. Why? Because we're all holding on to the rope of Allah. Kitab, Sunnah. Does it mean we don't fall short? Of course we fall short. Muslims can fall short because we're human beings. Allah created us with weaknesses. But we don't let go of the asal, of the origin of the affair, and that is to accept the fact that the rope of Allah is to be held onto, the sunnah is to be followed, the sahaba to be followed. And they are to be taken as a model to be followed, an example to be followed, and as a model to be emulated. As Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, you know Imam Ahmad, right? You heard of the four madhabs. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is the final imam out of those four imams, died in the year 241. He has a book called Usul Sunnah. At the beginning of Usul Sunnah, what does he say? Usul Sunnati indana at-tamassaku bima kana alayhi ashabu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam wal-iqtida'u bihim wa tarku al-bid'ah. He said that the foundations of the sunnah, meaning the foundations of creed with us, is to hold fast to that which the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam were upon. And to take them as a model to be emulated, and to abandon innovations in the religion. Those things that are brought into the religion that are alien to it. This is the foundations of the sunnah. This is the way of the sahaba. So when we talk about unity and they say, Ya akhi, oh my brother, look, you're talking about sticking to one way, but Allah said, all of you unite. Allah didn't say all of you unite. Allah said all of you hold on to the rope of Allah and then unite and then do not divide. All of you hold on to the rope of Allah, all of you together, and do not divide. And remember the bounty of Allah upon you when you were enemies one to another and Allah brought your hearts together and by the grace of Allah you became brothers one to another. That's what Allah said in the Quran. That's what Allah said in the Quran. And then the ayat, we don't have time to mention the ayat that follow, that forbid from splitting, forbid from differing. And the great punishment of those who differ from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we talk about sectarianism in Islam, we as Muslims should never tolerate it. And nor should we try to unite with sects who are not sticking to the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, when the companions, they asked the Messenger of Allah to counsel them, to advise them. They thought he was dying. He gave a sermon, such a powerful sermon the Prophet ﷺ gave, that the companions, they thought, khalas, he's leaving us now, he's about to die. They said, Ya Rasulullah, give us some counseling. Advise us, counsel us. What did he say? قَدْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْبَيْدَىٰ لَيْلِهَا كَنَهَارِهَا لَا يَزِيغُ بَعْدِي عَنْهَا إِلَّا هَالِكَ. Look at the advice and the legacy that he left. When they thought he was going to leave them, he said, indeed I have left you upon clear proof. Its night is like its day. There is no darkness. There is no cloudiness or murkiness or mistiness in this Islam. Its night is like its day and no one strays from it except that he is destroyed. فَعَلَيْكُمْ And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَمَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ سَيَرَىٰ إِخْتِلَافٍ كَثِيرًا And whomsoever from amongst you lives for long, وَمَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ whomsoever from amongst you lives for long, then he will see a great amount of differing and controversy. Is there not difference and controversy today between the Muslims? So what did he say? So now he's told you, I've left you upon clear proof. He's laid down the foundation. So no one can say afterward the Prophet ﷺ didn't really explain things. So we don't know. So now he's told you, I've explained to you. Allah told you in the Quran, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي. Allah already mentioned, I've perfected for you your religion. Here now the messenger is telling you the same thing. I've left you upon clear proof. So no one after him can say, well, we don't know, akhi, who's upon the truth and who's upon the false. And say, no, you're lying upon Allah's messenger. Do you know that? He said, how am I lying? Said the Prophet ﷺ told you that he's left you upon clear proof. How are you saying that he didn't and we don't know? Maybe you don't know as an individual. That doesn't mean the Prophet ﷺ didn't tell us. It means that you have fallen short in not seeking the truth. The Prophet told you, I've left you upon clear proof. Its night is like its day. No one strays from it except that he is destroyed. So don't say the Prophet did not leave us upon clarity. He left us upon clarity. The shortfall is in you. You're not looking for the clarity. You're not struggling and seeking the knowledge. Also the Prophet ﷺ said, from those, and then there are those amongst you who will live for a long time. And they will see a great amount of differing and controversy. Differing and controversy, we see it. Sahaba saw it with the sectarianism of those Khawarij and Shia and those sects that I mentioned to you, the Qadariya and so on. Sahaba saw it. We see it even more because there's more sects today. More factions, more groups. Today. Right? So we see all of these factions. Then what did the Prophet say when you see these differing? What did he say? He said, فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا عَرَفْتُمْ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. Now he's giving them the cure. So he's laid down the principle. He told them the disease that would come. Then he gave them the cure. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا عَرَفْتُمْ مِنْ سُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءَ الرَّاشِدِينَ المهديين من بعدي. So stick and hold fast. عليكم meaning binding upon you, obligatory upon you is what you know of my sunnah. What's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That which is authentic upon him. From the ahadith that have been relayed to us, from the books of hadith and the books of sunnah by the scholars who collected them and they carried them to the generations that came after. This is the sunnah. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِمَا عَرَفْتُمْ مِنْ سُنَّةِ which you know from my sunnah. And then he did not stop there. Then what did he say? And the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs after me. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, follow their path. Follow their sunnah. He said, follow my sunnah and follow their sunnah. Look, he called their path the sunnah. Then he said, عَبْدُوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدْ. Hold on to that with your molar teeth. Then he said, and beware of the newly introduced matters into religion. For every newly invented matter is an accursed innovation. Every innovation is misguidance. And in a narration, with a separate wording, every misguidance is in the hellfire. Now, we have been told again by the Prophet ﷺ when the differing occurs, he didn't say, unite everyone together and don't worry about your differences. He said, when differing occurs, go back to my sunnah. When differing occurs, go back to my sahaba. And keep away from newly invented matters. Meaning keep away from the Khawarij. Keep away from ISIS. Keep away from Shia. Keep away from the Turuq al-Sufiya, from the paths of Sufism and grave worship. Keep away from those people who are sitting in the masjid counting pebbles. That's what he's telling you. Every time you see something where controversy, ya akhi, where do you get that from? Ya akhi, it's in my heart. Ya akhi, your heart didn't receive revelation. Where do you get that from? Ya akhi, my heart is good. Akhi, I didn't ask you about your heart. I asked you where you got that practice from. Who taught you that? Silence. My Sheikh. Ya akhi. This practice, is it in any hadith? No. But I'm making dhikr, and dhikr is in hadith. Ya akhi, I'm not asking about your dhikr. I'm asking about this whole thing that you're doing. Where did you get that from? No hadith? Then what are you doing it for? Sahaba do it? No. So what are you doing it for? You better than them? What did Ibn Mas'ud said? Either you're upon a religion better than the religion of Muhammad, or you're upon the path of destruction. Ibn Mas'ud said that to them. So say to them, ya akhi, is this guidance better than the guidance of the Sahaba and the Prophet? Is he going to say yes? He can't say yes. Who would have the jura? Who would have this audacity to say what I'm doing is better than what the Sahaba did? No one would say, no Muslim would say that, right? So you say to him, ya akhi, the Prophet didn't do it, Sahaba didn't do it. Don't do it, ya akhi. Demonstrations in the streets. Everyone was waving the flags, right? Yeah, they're demonstrating in Egypt. We're going to see a change. They're demonstrating in Libya. We're going to see a change. They're demonstrating in Syria. We're going to see a change. What did the scholars say? Prophet never demonstrated. 360 idols were surrounding the Kaaba, he didn't go out demonstrating. The Sahaba were being beaten and tortured, he didn't go out demonstrating. Sumayya radiallahu anhu was killed with a spear into her abdomen, forced through her body. Prophet ﷺ didn't go out demonstrating. Not once. So now, there is no site in the dunya that is more important and more sacred to the heart of the Muslims than Mecca and the Kaaba. No haram. The only haramain anyway, Mecca and Medina. Nothing is more sacred to us and greater in the eyes of the Muslims from any land in the dunya. The most beloved place on the dunya is Mecca to Allah. Prophet ﷺ said it. He said, you are the most, he turned to Mecca. He said, there is no place on the earth more beloved to Allah than you. And by Allah, I would never have left you if your people didn't turn me out. Prophet ﷺ said that about Mecca. Yet he never demonstrated. So the scholars, they said, this practice of demonstration, marching in the streets, sit-ins, Tahrir Square, Libya, what you're doing in Tunisia, this is not from the Sunnah, go back to your homes. They said, oh, you're sellouts. You just support these tyrannical regimes. You are the government people. You don't want to see justice established. The scholars said, go back to your homes. This is not going to establish Islam. This is not the way of the Prophet. This is not from the Sunnah. Don't do it. We're going to do it. What are we seeing today? Good came out of it or evil came out of it? Where's the good in Libya? Where's the good in Tunisia? Huh? Times in Egypt have become even harder for the people in Egypt. Syria, do I have to say any more? Iraq, Yemen. All of this happened in Yemen, demonstrations. Where was your evidence? Yeah, we have to establish. I didn't ask you what you want to establish. I'm asking you this path that you're taking to rectify the Ummah of Muhammad. Over 1 billion people, you want to rectify them? Who told you you can do this? Where's the evidence, ya akhi? When did the Prophet do this? Did he have the Prophet ﷺ have the ability? Yes, he had the ability. Did he do it? No, he didn't do it. Not violently, not peacefully. He didn't do it. So what are you doing it for? Feels good. Feels right. Feels like the right thing to do. The non-Muslims do it. Every excuse except that they can't bring you anything from the Quran and Sunnah. They did it, and look at the result, what you're looking at now. And the ramifications in the West, and the ramifications in our communities, and the effect that he's had upon the youth of Trinidad. You've seen how many of those people have left. Why following desires? Because of this sectarianism, because they didn't seek the path of the Sunnah and the saved sect, the path of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us success in our affairs and to guide us and to keep us upon the straight path, to keep us upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim, and to give us steadfastness upon Istiqamah, to live upon that, to die upon that, and Allah raises upon that. This is what we ask Allah for tawfiq, and wa billahi tawfiq, wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.